Right now, it is time for us to be joined by our friends at the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. One stop to go to get information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What goes on in South County and the surrounding areas as well. And we welcome in David and Marcy. Good morning and
good morning.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
Good morning.
I mean, we've wrapped up.
It's a very peculiar holiday season.
Yeah, we've wrapped up Hanukkah. Kwanzaa's still going on. We have, of course, Christmas, and then Boxing Day comes up.
Right. Oh, don't forget the inauguration.
That's
a ways off yet. We've got plenty of turmoil to go.
I know, but it's really something to look forward to.
Yes, my new year begins on January 20th at noon.
At noon. One can hope. Anyways, all right, so now.
One can hope.
Well, one can hope that it'll be held.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's going to obviously be a scaled-down event anyways, no matter what, so because of COVID-19. But still, it's a great day to look for in America every 4 years when a president is either elected or reelected. So, and then takes office on that date. All right. Well, let's take office right now at the BerkshireEdge.com. And Bill Walsh is retiring. Yeah. How long has he been serving as the Great Barrington?
Can you imagine? He's been
chief for 37 years, but he's been in chief of police, but he's been in the department for 40 years.
Well,
he was very young when he was a kid.
He's just a kid because I've been in radio for 50 years. So he's a youngster to me.
well, how old is he? No, he doesn't. Yeah. It will be his 65th birthday today. The 24th.
The 24th, right?
It's his 65th birthday, and state law requires that police, firefighters, and correction officers retire no later than age 65. So he is doing it on his 65th birthday. But the amazing thing is that he was really just a rookie cop. He was only a 3-year veteran in 1983 when he became the youngest person in the town's history to be chief of police.
Right.
How did that happen?
Enough, he's also married to the sister of the Stockbridge police chief, Rick Wilcox. So there's, linkages all over the place.
Well, it's nice when somebody puts in that much service to the town. And by the way, at the end of 40 years of service as being in the police department or police chief, have more people like him than don't. I mean, that's something that you have to look at in the evolution of today when you have a police chief that is respected by just about everybody.
It is. And, you know, one of his, what I remember about him is every afternoon, he would be standing at the corner of Railroad Street and Main Street, on the sidewalk there, which is kind of like the chief was on the beat. I mean, walking the beat, and people could he would talk to people. People would walk by, and he would just be a member of the community.
Right.
You know, he didn't huddle in his car. But he was actually visible and present in the community.
What they used to call community policing.
Yes, exactly.
And
I do remember that about 5 years ago at town meeting, he got up and declared that if there were any pot shops in Great Barrington, his police were not going to protect them.
Right.
I mean, which shocked me because it's not like the police chief makes the policy. But, of course, now here we are, pot capital, and his police are in fact protecting them. And
as witnessed by what happened at that one incident that happened at Dairy Wellness when the person got robbed.
So,
cooler heads, time has a way of really mellowing things out and making things seem right.
The other thing is that he has he had, as our article points out, you know, there have been several really important crises that he's had to deal with. You know, there was very early on, I mean, in the early 1990s, there was a student who shot other students at Simon's Rock. It was a very famous shooting. You know, there was the death of a drunken police officer who had a car accident. I mean, there were several disciplinary issues. There have been things. And there was a drowning of a little girl in the Housatonic River. I mean, there have been things that he's had to deal with that were painful and difficult. But he's leaving, really, with a great deal of affection. And the town feels very...
I should feel indebted to him for that many years of service. I mean, you can take a look around. Officer Obie didn't get this kind of farewell.
No, he did.
Well, he had a song written about him. I don't think Arlo is going to write a song about Bill Walsh.
No, I don't think so.
Not that I know. Well, we could ask him.
I don't think so.
The interim chief is Paul Storti, who is himself a 31-year veteran of the department. We understand that the status of the police chief is going to change. I think he or she will no longer be a civil servant, but actually will be given a 3-year contract so that he or she can be let go if unsatisfactory to the select board. So it's going to be a different relationship.
All right. I want to move on to your next story that you've notified me on, and that is the federal moratorium on evictions is coming to an end, possibly, and it's got a lot of people that really have no plans that they can make onto where they're going to live in the future.
Well, and there are no places for them to go. I mean, to find a rental in the Berkshires now is very difficult. Any possible place has been rented out to people.
And the prices are skyrocketing.
Yes, they are.
So Construct, which is an organization that helps people who are in distress find housing, is really alarmed at what's going to happen here. In the depths of winter, too,
Yeah, it could
be really difficult.
I don't know if the new stimulus, the COVID-19 stimulus package, has anything in the extension there. It's only 5,000 pages long because it's mixed in
It may not be signed.
Yeah, and it's also mixed in with. This is what really gets me upset. It's mixed in because Democrats and Republicans both have waited so long and they've been pushed. They have to fund the government, so now the COVID-19 help is mixed in with the omnibus bill. And now people are looking at this and saying, well, there's money for all these different foreign countries. That doesn't come out of the COVID-19 bill. That's the omnibus spending bill.
Yeah, right.
It's so confusing right now. And then right. And the president, who initially signed off on this, now is not signing off on it. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Having provided absolutely no leadership, the president will not sign off on it. I mean, he hasn't participated in any of the planning or the policy making or the negotiations, and suddenly it comes to his desk and he decides it's not what he wanted. Well, nobody knew what he wanted.
Well, it's a situation that we have faced before, with spending bills being put off, the can kicked down the road. And then you had COVID-19 on top of it, and it just makes for a horrible situation.
It has. But it is amazing, actually, that the Republicans and the Democrats managed to come together to come up with a bill at all. So I think we have to say that government is working. But we had a very interesting piece on Monday. We are now, we now have a Business Monday section. We are concentrating our business reporting on Mondays, and so we had an article this Monday by Jonathan Butler, who is the CEO of One Berkshires, which is a regional planning and tourist promotion organization. And it's a very interesting article about housing in the Berkshires. So I recommend that your readers take a look at it, because he is talking really about the severe housing crisis that we have here, and he's giving a few examples of affordable housing projects that have been built, one privately by the Allegroni Company in Pittsfield, and another one by the, the Southern Berkshire Community Corporation, is that what the name is?
Community Development Corporation.
Community Development Corporation, yes,
yeah.
CDC, sorry. So, and we need many more of these, because it's not only that people right now need places to live, but businesses can't grow if they can't hire people and if people can't find housing. You know, I mean, we think about it too. You know, we probably should hire another reporter, but, you know, that person has to be able to live in South County, and there's very little housing.
And you have to be able to pay that person, and in a pandemic where businesses, and we have to, you know, both you and us here, when we have to go out and cover meetings and everything, you need people to do that. You need bodies to do that. People depend on seeing these news stories and reading these news stories, and they don't realize that it costs money to produce.
I must say we have had a really generous response from our readers. We have been really stressing our need for reader support since the beginning of the pandemic, and we've gotten very encouraging response. We're not there yet.
No, but at least
it costs much more to produce than people think. I mean, everybody thinks, I'm sure the same thing about the radio, the internet. Oh, it's cheap. You don't have to deliver or print. All that is true, but we have plenty of other costs.
People should look at our 1099s, which are online, and see that this tiny little radio station costs somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $600,000 a year to operate.
And this tiny little newspaper, which isn't quite up to $500,000 or $600,000, but approaching it.
Yeah, it's not an inexpensive thing to do, and that's why more people, and that's why businesses are closing down, and newspapers and radio stations are combining, because it's just a lot of work and there's not a lot of profit in it. So
profit. We'd be happy to spend the losses.
I know. All right, let's move on.
That is not why we're here.
That's right. Let's move on to comic relief, as you call the story, the Brown Bridge, which is now once again not green, but what color?
Not brown.
And not green either.
And not brown. It's I don't know. I mean, maybe we should have. Is it chartreuse? Is it pink?
And how long is it going to stay?
It's going to be red. Is it whatever it is? It's being painted. It was always known as the Brown Bridge, mainly because of the rust.
Yeah.
And now they're upgrading the bridge and repairing it. And but they painted it this gaudy red color, and people are like, "What?" It's kind of an amusing. We have a story by our historian Bernie Drew on the history of the bridge and its various colors. It has a very colorful history.
Well,
he calls it the Scarlet Bridge.
you would figure in Great Barrington, someone would do a paint job on it like a tie dye.
Oh right!
Hey, you know what?
That's an idea.
You know what? Maybe we should run a contest.
That's right.
About what color it should be.
Amazing.
And who would be willing to do it? I mean, we have. Remember that years ago, there was the Railroad Street Youth Project, where young people who were given walls, brick walls in alleyways to paint these wonderful murals on. Well, now we have a bridge. They could try that.
There you go.
What do you think?
Anything's possible.
Right.
Well, so right.
I think we've come up with something here.
I know the state won't agree with it, but
no,
heck,
the state, what, you know.
You know, who cares about the state, right?
Well, when they don't have any artistic sensibility.
No, they certainly don't. Look what they did to our main street. anyway. So.
All in the name of progress, my dear. All in the name of progress.
Oh, progress, right.
All right. Let's speak about the Berkshire Innovation Center.
Yeah, so this is a...
This is really interesting.
This is also on our business Monday, but this is a kind of heartwarming little story. It seemed that Berkshire Medical Center was alerted that it was going to be getting doses of vaccine, and it suddenly realized that those doses have to be stored at minus 70 degrees, and they had no facility for storing it. When suddenly, from across town, the executive director of the new Berkshire Innovation Center realized that they had one of those refrigerators that goes to minus 70, actually goes even further, it goes to minus 86, I think. And so he called the hospital and delivered this refrigerator over to them, and they were in business, and they started vaccinating people. So it's, you know, as our reporter says, I mean, these things take teamwork and sometimes a little luck. And this is really good luck because the hospital had ordered a refrigerator, but it hadn't come yet. And so they had no way to store the vaccine, and now they have. So Ben Sosny, who's the executive director of the Berkshire Innovation Center, came to the rescue. But part of this story, which is very interesting, is not just this incident, but it's really the Berkshire Innovation Center, which opened in Pittsfield in the spring. And I don't know that it's gotten as much attention as it should have, but this is a new organization that is intended to provide regional manufacturers and STEM businesses, you know, science, technology, what is it? E and mathematics, TEM, to provide them with advanced R&D equipment, state-of-the-art lab and training facilities, and collaboration opportunities with research partners, and also internships and apprenticeship programs. So this is a very exciting organization that's intended to try to incubate and support innovative new technology businesses in the Berkshires. And they built a new building in William Stanley Park in Pittsfield, and it's operating with meeting rooms and labs and training programs and a refrigerator.
Yeah, it was just lucky because they had ordered this piece of equipment.
The hospital had.
The hospital had. Well, and the BIC had.
Yeah.
The Berkshire Innovation Center had ordered this for its own research facility before the COVID-19 pandemic hit.
Right.
And its need for a vaccine that needed to be stored. So it was just a piece of luck for this community that we have one locally.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great story, and but that goes along with it, that the word innovation. People are
right,
innovative, and entrepreneurial, it's amazing how things automatically seem to pop up. It's a result of a lot of hard work, investigation, that leads to that. So that's
it is a sense of community as well, and we should be grateful for that. And I think, you know, this community in South County of Berkshire throughout the county, has really pulled together. You know, at the beginning of this pandemic, an enormous amount of money was raised by both the United Way and the Berkshire Taconic Foundation, and was funneled very quickly into people who had no food and no shelter and had lost jobs, the community has really been magnificent.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the final permit for the cleanup of toxic PCBs.
Well, we say final and put that in quotes.
Yeah, I know. Because,
who knows?
Right. Well, the EPA has finally issued a permit for the final. This is supposedly the final revised permit, so that the cleanup of the toxic polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, from the Housatonic River that were dumped there many, many years ago by General Electric from its transformer operations in Pittsfield. The permit, they've been negotiating this for, 25 years, I think, trying to get to clean the river up finally. In any case, they have the EPA has finally issued a permit for the cleanup. But as luck
problem.
Would have it, there's of course someone who's a local group is contesting where the toxic sludge that is dredged from the bottom of the river is going to be stored.
Yes, because they plan to store it in Lee. they plan to build a little storage hill to put all this toxic waste, and the local people are saying this is going to leach right into our land and into our water supply.
Well, in fact, it seems that, this happened in Pittsfield. In Pittsfield, there's something called Hill 78, which is near the old General Electric transformer plant, in which, in fact, it was this giant mound of toxic dirt that was covered with a tarp, and that was their way of removing the PCBs from the river in Pittsfield, and this is a temporary kind of solution rather than actually carting the stuff to a facility which can, detoxify it, which is more expensive, but, probably removes it from the Berkshire environment. And that's what people are upset about. And they're just creating another Hill 78 in Lee, So
All right. This
has been going on forever, ever since GE knew that these PCBs were dangerous and have been fighting this cleanup all for as many years as I can remember.
Just remember their slogan for many years, GE brings good things to light. All right.
Yeah, right.
Well, actually, the press brings good things to light.
Yeah. We're letting them know about this.
Yeah.
We'll wrap this up on a positive note, as you've got a poem by Robert Frost highlighted.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in these apocalyptic times, why not remind ourselves of an apocalyptic poem with tongue-in-cheek, I might add, a poem called Fire and Ice by Robert Frost. And we have one of our writers, Phil Holland, who's teaches at Bennington College, reminds us of this Fire and Ice, which is about how the world will end.
Yeah.
Frost speculates whether it'll be, some say, in ice, and some say in fire.
Right. And
it's going to be one or the other.
Well, and some say it'll be fire, and others say that ice will also be nice.
But the writer, Phil Holland, relates this to the current apocalyptic times.
Right.
We have more
hate than ever.
Yeah.
And that, the FBI says that hate crimes hit a new high in this year.
Yeah. Well, we have a hater-in-chief as president.
It's the times we happen to live in. But it's the holiday time, and it's time where we try to put all that aside and say,
But, well, yeah.
And, you know, happy holidays, and you know, go to a new year where the slate gets wiped clean, and we're still going to have the same problems, but maybe even just for a couple of days, we can get away from all this. But it's tough too, because it's just the amazing times we live in. It's unrelenting. The bad news.
Unrelenting. Which is why they need us and you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, life is unrelenting.
Life is unrelenting.
Well, guys, I want you to have a Merry Christmas, a great weekend,
and we will speak to you
one more time before the end of the year.
Right.
All right, guys. Listen.
Are you going to announce your New Year's resolutions?
Next week, I absolutely will.
I have
two of them. That's it. That's all. Okay. All right, guys.
Have you already made them? By the way, do you know what they are? Or
I won't release them till next week. That's exactly right.
Yes, exactly.
All right, guys. I'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
The Berkshire Edge on air here at Robinhood Radio. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com.